Okay. Wow, we could just stop there. Well, good morning, everybody. It's good to see you. Most of you, I'm sure, are familiar with and probably have read the book of Job many times. And one weekend when we were stuck at home, we had a sick child, we watched another sermon online. And so I want to thank Greg Boyd from the Woodland Hills Church in Minneapolis. He's really a cool speaker when he speaks, and he's got some great topics and a great approach to things. And I wanted to kind of take some information and take his approach to the book of Job. And the verse that you see, I think that we got it into the agenda, is the Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. And what he was talking about at the time were verses that are misunderstood and can be taken the wrong way. And I think this is definitely one of those that can give us a wrong view of what God is all about and what God we serve. Because He's an awesome, awesome God. And a lot of us know in the book of Job, he gets hammered by Satan and ends up losing his 7 sons in the beginning there, and they all die, and his 3 daughters die, and all his possessions get wiped away, and everything's gone except his wife. That's all he's left with. And then Job arose, and he shaved his head, tore his robe off, and fell upon the ground, which was the ancient way of grieving. And he worshipped, and he said, "Naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked I shall return. And the Lord gave, the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." And on the surface, looks like a good attitude. And we're going to see that that may not have been exactly how he was feeling. But the Bible does tell us in all of this, Job did not sin or charge God with any wrongdoing. But the question I have, and I've kind of thought this before as I've looked through the book of Job, and I've always thought, wow, man, all this happened to him, and in the end, the Lord kind of chastises him, like, why? What's the deal there? And so the question I would have is, you know, do you believe that every good thing that happens to you, every blessing is always from the Lord, and everything that's taken away is because of the Lord? Do you think that? And I think many of us maybe do because of a passage like this in the Bible and because of how we hear it. Because people usually use that passage in times of catastrophe, you know. You hear it at funerals a lot, right? And it was about 12 or 13, 14 years ago, there was a story that was in the Associated Press, and here's how it was in the newspaper. The headline was, "The Lord Gives and the Lord Takes." And it had to do with that. There was a picture of a guy speaking at a funeral of his 5 children, and it was his wife had, something happened to her, she had postpartum blues or something, and she'd drawn all 5 kids in the bathtub, okay? And he spoke at the kids' funeral. She got tried as a sane person and is still serving a life sentence in prison. But here it is at the funeral, and this husband says, "The Lord gave us these 5 beautiful children. Now the Lord has taken these 5 beautiful children away." And I think we hear that a lot. And then there was another example of a lady that, and we've got versions of this in the Bible, right? This lady and her husband couldn't have kids, and they went to all these specialists, and they said, "Well, you know, based on the way your body's laid out, and there's certain things in there, you probably are never going to have children." And sure enough, lo and behold, she gets pregnant. Wow. And they've been praying and praying and praying about it, and she miraculously conceives and goes around telling everybody and testifies about how God finally blessed her with a child, you know. And then what ends up happening is the child ends up getting stillborn. Something's wrapped around his neck or something, and the child's stillborn. And, of course, that lady's question was, why would God do this to us? You hear that a lot? Why would God do that to me? And we're jumping a rail there, if you think about it. Because, well, anyway, so she goes all around and tries to find answers to this, and, you know, goes to theologians, you know, and one pastor said, "Well, the Lord gives and the Lord takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. You know, everything the Lord does is good and wise. We've got to praise Him in all things, right? Because this was good and wise. You know, maybe there's a lesson He wanted to teach you out of this." And as a result of that counsel, this lady left the faith for 8 years. And this Greg Boyd was saying how later on he had approached her and asked him the same question. How would you answer that? And that's a good question for us to think. How would we answer that? You know, I've had people ask me, "Well, yeah, this happened, and you know, these 2 girls died, and they were my, you know, why did it happen?" You know, God gives me a baby. Oh, great joy, you know. And just as I'm about to give birth to this child, you know, he takes it. I'm going to take it back. That doesn't seem like a nice God, does it? You know? Well, why? Because there's a lesson. This preacher had told her. There's a lesson you're supposed to learn. You know? Not going to tell you what the lesson is. Okay? But there's a lesson you're supposed to learn. I'm going to take your kid, kill it, to teach you a lesson, and you got to figure out what the lesson is. It's like, wow. That is kind of what's going on there. And meanwhile, there's all these other ladies. You know, they're on crack cocaine. They're having babies, and they have babies just fine. But you're not, I'm taking yours because there's a lesson you're supposed to learn, but I'm not going to tell you the lesson. And you know, that right there is giving us this impression of God as some Al Capone type of person. So how should we interpret this? You know, how should we look at it? And the idea, I think, is to put it into context with the whole book, because there's a lot of stuff going on in the book of Job that we don't know. But in the whole book, I think that verse and many others are meant to be taken the exact opposite of the way they're said. You know? What kind of book are we dealing with? What kind of literature? It was written in a special way, and we'll get into that in a little bit, but you know, scholars would argue the book of Job is like an epic, you know, an ancient epic and a dramatic poem, and it's not the way people normally would talk. As a matter of fact, this book kind of came out of nowhere because no one even knows really who wrote it. It's a very interesting book when you start studying where it came from. But like many ancient poems, the book starts out with this prologue. And this is, if you've ever been to a play where someone comes out and tells you some stuff beforehand that people in the play don't know, and that's how this book is. Here we get this thing that says what's going to happen. We'd set up the storyline. There's a secret that the characters in the book aren't going to know, but we get to know it when we read it, okay? We learn about that conflict between God and Satan, and the characters in the book never learn about that part of it. And that's important, because I think one of the biggest things about the book of Job is to tell these people and you and me, because it's there for us to look back at now, how little we know, especially about spiritual things. And God tells us, we don't know anything about what's going on. And so one of the things that I've used in this book before is when they have this big board meeting and Satan shows up to talk with God's angel when they have this meeting. And one of the things that I realized after reading through that a few times is, you know, we don't have to ask God for permission to do things all the time, right? God gave you and me free will. He gave the angels free will as well. And it didn't turn out so well for some of them. But, you know, it's in your power to do this and do that, and you don't have to have this mother may I mentality and go to God for everything, but he certainly doesn't want us to do bad stuff either. You know, I mean, we can choose to do bad stuff. And Satan's more powerful than us, and by the same token, he doesn't have to get permission for everything he does either. He's out and about doing all kinds of stuff. And there's a lot of things in the story that we don't even need to consider. What we need to really get down to is what's happening in the story that we should learn. And here's what I'm saying. In the prologue, it says, there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came with them. Okay, so here's all the angels getting together, and God's having a meeting with them, and Satan comes along. And the Lord said to Satan, where have you come from? And Satan says, well, I'm from going to and fro in the earth and from walking up and down in it. I've used that line a lot of times. It's interesting. And so Satan basically just shows up, crashes this little party, and we'll see why in a little bit, but it's kind of a random thing. He shows up for one of the God's meetings. Random thing, right? In the spiritual realm, can you imagine all the stuff that's going on spiritually that we don't know about? We can't see Satan, we can't see demons, we can't see angels, we can't see any of that stuff. So here's all this spiritual stuff going on, all this conflict between Satan and his demons and trying to mess us up and going about ruining God's stuff. And it all appears like random stuff to us. But this spiritual warfare ensues, and God brags about Job. Hey, I got this righteous guy. He's kind of flaunting all the righteousness of Job in front of Satan. And Satan, well, don't you think that Job fears you for nothing? Well, he honors you and reverences you for nothing. Haven't you put a hedge of protection about him? and his house and all that he has. And you've blessed the work of his hands, and all his possessions have increased in the land. But, you know, God, if you put forth your hand and touch all that he has and destroy all his stuff, and destroy all the stuff he has, he's going to curse you to your face. So here's Satan putting all on the line, right? He's charging God with not having good character. But basically what Satan is saying, in effect, there is, you know, Job is worshiping you because you give him a lot of stuff. And you bless him. And you put a hedge of protection about him. Kind of like, you know, so what, you know, more importantly then, is God like a control freak? Okay, he's a manipulator. Is God moving us around like little puzzle pieces and giving benefits here so we do this and blessing us here so we do that? It's what Satan is saying here. Is God giving us stuff so we do what he wants us to do? And so, and right now at this point, if God would just say, okay, you know, Satan, I'll just get rid of you. Well, that wouldn't prove a point. It would still prove that he's a control freak then. Satan would be right. And if God just ignored him, the same thing. So here's this little test. Okay, God's saying, yeah, Job is righteous. You know what? I think he'd still be righteous even without all that stuff. So let's play this out. What happens if Job loses everything? Remember the story about the rich man in the Bible, right? He said, well, what do I have to do to get this? And God said, just, you know, put on, give away all your stuff and come and join me. Well, he couldn't do it. So Satan's saying this is going to be the same thing with Job. Everything he has, and here's what God says. Okay, so Satan actually says, I want you to do this. And did you notice when you read it, here's what God says. Everything he has, behold, it's in your power. See, there's the key right there. God isn't doing any of it. He said, okay, Satan, you go ahead and do what you want to do. He's putting it on Satan. That's what you want to do anyway, right? So if you're trying to get him, I'm going to let you do what you want to do right now. Only upon himself you can't put forth your hand. So Satan went out from the presence of the Lord to do a bunch of stuff to Job, right? It's not God who's going out there taking his stuff away, taking his kids, taking his possession. It's not God. It's Satan. So in this whole story, Job is this kind of an unfortunate victim caught in the crossfire of all this spiritual warfare that's going on out there. And he's a righteous man. Isn't that incredible? He's suffering precisely because he's righteous and because, like God said, he was the most righteous person in the land. And he's not even going to know why. See, because we already know why in the beginning. We already know in the beginning he does not know what's going on. But the whole point there is to challenge these thought processes that we have as humans that, okay, here's the wisdom that we have, right? If things are going well, it's because God favors you, right? And if things are going bad, it's because God is judging you. And it's been around since day one. People think that way. I think we've all thought that way. So now we're going to have a guy who suffers because he's righteous. And what's at stake here? Job is being called right now to prove that human beings do have free will. Okay? When they talk about, you know, a test by fire, I'm going to, you know, well, testing a non-Christian by fire doesn't serve any purpose. So we've got the most upright guy in the land right now to prove that God isn't just manipulating us, he's not just moving us around like puzzle pieces, he's not giving us stuff so we do the things he wants. But here's what's going to happen. He's going to let Job go ahead and prove that even if all his stuff is gone, that he's still going to be true to me and he's still going to love me because that's what he does. And that's why I rewarded him. It's what's in his heart. But the thing is, we are so ignorant of all. We're ignorant of that fact. We don't think about that kind of thing, you know? So those are the two things. On one hand, here's Satan trying to put that kind of thought process in our heads that God is a control freak and a manipulator, and we have God's theology that he gives at the end of the book of Job. And we're going to get to that in a little bit. But, you know, Job and his friends both are thinking that same way as Satan wants us to think. They assume that God is doing all this stuff. God's the guy doing it all. Job's friends believe that way, and they think, okay, if God is just, That means Job's being punished. That's how they thought, right? And so throughout the whole book of Job, they're always saying, oh yeah, Job, oh, you know, you did this, you did something. Think, Job, reflect here, reflect there. You know, who was it that was ever innocent that perished? You know, and who and where were the upright ever cut off? Didn't happen. So, somehow, you must be doing something wrong, Job. It's got to be. And that's kind of interesting because if that's the thought process, I can think of all kinds of people that were innocent that stuff happened to, right? I mean, you know, you talk about innocent babies, you talk about lots of kids that get cancer and die. I mean, there's all kinds of people that have never did a thing wrong. So, you know, I think the upright people get cut off quite a bit. But people still think that way. Job, in chapter 6, accuses his friends of speaking out of their fear. And that's where it comes from, too. He says, you're speaking out of your fear. And he's right, because they want security. Okay, follow me on this. They want to believe that God is doing all this stuff, but they're righteous, and since they're righteous, nothing bad's going to happen to them. Okay, so they're actually, he's totally right, they're acting out of fear. Because if they can feel good about all their blessings and know that it came from God, and Job is suffering, okay, so God took away his stuff and it's God punishing him. Because in the back of their minds, they're thinking, oh man, well, if this can happen to Job, it could happen to us too. Oh, so Job, it's got to be you. And so people, I think, want to grab onto formulas. And we want to do stuff that we know it's going to protect us. If we do this and believe this, okay, and avoid that, then God's going to give me blessings. And that's why later on in the book of Job, when God shows up at the end, he's pretty mad at Job's friends. He's pretty ticked off about all that stuff because they're still holding on to their thought process instead of humbling themselves. Does that make sense? And if you look at Jesus, he is the central revelation of God. Jesus refutes that kind of thinking all the time when he was walking on the earth. Whenever he confronted people that were in pain and people who have diseases and people that were blind, he never, ever suggested that God was doing it to him. That never happened. He never once suggested that you guys deserve that, you know. He would treat all these people as just casualties of stuff that happens, spiritual warfare that's going on in the world. And that's why he had such a heart for people that were hurting and sick. And you think about it. In Luke 13, there's all these people that get killed by that tower that fell. Okay, remember? 18 people got killed, and Jesus says to the crowd, do you think that they were any more sinners than you or anyone else here in Jerusalem? No, here's what you should be worried about. If you don't repent, you're going to perish. So, it wasn't God that made the tower fall. I mean, things happen. And Jesus is just saying, don't try and read the character or the will of God based on life's tragedies and all the stuff that happens. What you should be worried about is your own relationship with God. And that's what we need to do, I think. It completely refutes this whole idea that we can tell who God is punishing by how bad things are going on in their lives. We can't do that. And Jesus says you can't. God says you can't. He doesn't say, you know, I'm God, I can do whatever I want. I mean, we have that impression too. I don't think there's a verse that actually says that if you put it in context. He doesn't say that kind of thing. He doesn't say, oh, you just grin and bear it. Too bad for you. What God does say is he asks a bunch of questions. And that's what's kind of cool. To reveal Job's ignorance. And ours too. You know, here's God when he finally comes back in. He says, my anger is stirred up against you and your two friends because you've not spoken about me what is right. I mean, basically what Job and his friends are saying isn't right. Much of the book of Job is the theology of Job and his friends, and here's what they're saying, and here's what they're thinking. Records them, here's their worldview, here's what they think's happening. They're judging. But that's not the stuff we're supposed to believe. We're supposed to believe the exact opposite. But Job gets to that point too. Everything that happens is God's doing. He still won't agree that he's more sinful than his friends, but you know what? The only conclusion Job finally comes to is God is cruel. This just, He's not being fair to me. He's unjust. And if you start listening to some of his lines, he goes later on in later chapters, oh, the Lord is crushing me with a tempest. He's multiplying my wounds without cause. He destroys the blameless and the wicked. When disaster brings sudden death, he mocks at the calamity of the innocent. The earth is given into the hands of the wicked, and he covers the faces of the judges. And if not he, then who is it? And then he finally gets to the point where, does it please you, God, to oppress me, to spurn the work of your hands while you're smiling on the plans of the wicked? Oh, he's really getting, oh, he's just falling in the muck now really bad. He goes, God, your hands fashioned and made me, and now you've completely destroyed me. So you can see, he's fallen to that same mentality that God is doing it all. And yet, when we looked in the beginning of the book, we got to be in on the play. God isn't doing it. He said, Satan, okay, I'm going to let Job prove to you that people do love me because only out of their free will because they love me and not because of the stuff. He says, you hunt me like a lion. You display your power against me. You bring me a new witness against me. You increase your anger against me. Leave me alone that I can have some comfort. My anger has torn me and persecuted me. You've gnashed at me with your teeth. My adversary locks his eyes on me. Now he's calling God his adversary. That's Satan's name, you know? So that's how Job is picturing God. And, you know, if God was doing all this stuff, he probably would be right in thinking that. But they don't know what's going on in the background. They don't know all the spiritual stuff that's happening. They just assume it's all God. Matter of fact, it gets so bad, Job says, who is the Almighty that we should serve him? What would we gain if we were to pray to him? Well, I think a lot of the world feels that way because they expect when you give your life to God and turn everything over to him that everything's peachy keen now. And it's not, because stuff is happening. Random things are going on in this universe, and some of it happens to us. He chokes me, he flings me into the mud, and I have come to resemble dust and ashes. God, you have become cruel to me. With the strength of your hand, you attack me. The Lord gives and the Lord takes. Only now, see, Job's really laying it all on the line now. He didn't mean the Lord gives and the Lord. He was saying it in a bad way. So if we believe God is doing all the giving and taking, that's one thing. But we know that Satan does a lot of the taking. You know, Jesus never says God is behind your suffering. He doesn't blame. You know, he gives a lot of teachings that show us that we just can't use that line of thinking. He doesn't say all suffering is at the hand of God. What God does instead is start asking Job questions. You know, here he goes in verse 38. Who is this who darkens counsel without understanding? Oh. And Job, you don't know anything, right? Do you know what's going on? He talks about all the creation. We've read those verses before. You know, where were you when I did this? Where were you when I did that? When I laid the foundations of the earth? Job, you just don't know what's going on. And finally, Job gets it. He finally gets it. Because he ends up repenting of that. He says, you know, I uttered words that I didn't understand. Things that were just too wonderful for me to understand. I repent in dust and ashes. Job himself repents of all the things he said, and he's starting to get it now. That's not how we're supposed to be thinking. And that's kind of neat. And it's sad that people think that this is how God is, because he's not that kind of God. You know, so here's that father with those five kids that died. You know, like, Lord gives and Lord takes away. You know, like, you know, the Lord gave, and all the spiritual stuff of Satan probably caused them to be lost and be taken away, you know. And here's one really cool thing about this verse in the Bible is, he said, okay, when God says, you didn't think about me what was right, and then in the next verse he goes on and says, you didn't speak to me about what is right like my servant Job did. So now he's talking to the friends. So now, after all the stuff Job did and all these things he said, he repents. And now God's talking to his friends and saying, you know, my servant Job, he spoke true words. And what that means is he spoke from his heart. He may have said those things about God, but he said them purely with a truthful, honest heart, looking at what was happening to him and knowing he didn't deserve that. You know, God is saying basically, because Job stayed honest, I still love this man. Job's friends, you know what they did? Oh, well, they're falling back on their, you know, their little religious talk and their theology, you know, about things that, you know, Job was honest with God, and these guys still wouldn't admit to that fact. You know, they still wouldn't admit that they have their own problems. God is a God that loves honesty and accuracy, but most of all, he wants honesty, an honest relationship with us. You know, we don't deserve it, and we still sin, and we still have our problems, but if we're just keeping that line of communication open, which is what Job did there, he kept his pure heart in front of God. So if we look at verses 38, 9, 40, 41, and 42, God shows up in the world when he talks to Job. He talks about two things. He talks all about the creation. He doesn't say, oh, I can do whatever I want, Job. He talks about creation, and he just like chastises and tries Job for a couple of chapters, and he basically says, Job, you know, Job, you just don't understand what's going on here. Do I consult you for this? No, no. But trust me, there's a lot of stuff going on in this universe that you don't know about, and I do. And God will, and that's why God says, until you walk a mile in my shoes, just be a little less quick on the trigger. You know? And even though God never tells Job and his friends about the spiritual warfare thing and the confrontation with Satan that led to all the trials, that's the whole point. He wants us to understand, we don't know anything. You know, we just, on this side of heaven, there's so many things we will never know. Job, I'm not the one that's doing all the stuff to you. You know, there's forces of evil I'm fighting against, and some of you guys are in the road of it. You know, that's where your trials come in. That's where your faith's going to get tested. Are you going to stick to it? And that's the whole point of the book, that us as human beings living in this mysterious creation, which is being torn apart spiritually by Satan and his demons running around trying to kill and destroy, that's just, we only see a tip of the iceberg where we're standing right now. And if we forget all that we don't know and we forget all the variables that affect things, it's natural for us to start charging God with all this stuff. We think God's doing all these things. He's in control. God's in control. He can do whatever he wants. Well, then we start judging other people. Oh, yeah, you're being punished for your sin. Okay, things are going good for me. I must be all right. You know? The one thing we know about is that God reveals himself through Jesus Christ. God looks like Jesus Christ dying on the cross because he loves even the enemies that crucified him. What we know right now is that while this world is messed up and there's evil people and the vast majority of people are cruel, God is not. God isn't the one handing out all the crap stuff. God is love. So we've got to keep our eyes fixed on Jesus Christ. And that's why I said, Jesus says, if you see me, you see the Father. Why then do you ask, show us the Father? If you just keep your eyes fixed on Jesus Christ and all this stuff that's happening in the world won't matter. But you got to be able, if you aren't keeping your eyes fixed on Jesus Christ, oh yeah, then all this stuff's going to get your view of God all messed up just like these guys did. And Job was an upright man. When tragedy happens or bad stuff happens, and the way he said this was so cool. When bad stuff happens, what we need to do is invite God in on it. You know? Don't start to blame God for it. He's on our side. Jesus said, I come to give life, and I come to give life to the fullest. The enemy comes to kill and steal and destroy. I come to give abundant life. So God is always on the side of abundant life. Okay? Satan and his demons are on, and even people are around there doing all this bad stuff. God wants to give you the good stuff. So when things are happening to you, get him into your life. Invite him back in and say, God, all this is happening. You know, help me get past this. He will breathe life into you. And the final thing is that throughout this world right now, we just got to remember, random things are happening that can affect us, and we're probably never going to know why. You know, that person's kid got killed in the car crash, and that person's kid didn't, or why, you know, these people were spared, and that family wasn't spared. I mean, and you know what? There's no answer to it. And when people come to you with that concern, the thing we should say is just, I don't know. You want to have an answer, right? And so many, even pastors or whatever, they don't have an answer. Just best answer is, you know, I don't know. When tragedy happens, just, you know, don't say the Lord gives and the Lord takes and blessed be the name of the Lord in that context anyway, you know, because that doesn't give the right impression of who God is, I don't think. We just don't know why sometimes. Just say, you know, I don't know, but let's pray, you know. I'm not sure. You could just say, the Lord gives, and I'm sorry it was taken. I don't know why. Who knows? And the hope of the New Testament isn't that everything is going to be wonderful now, and because it's not, right? And if you just believe in Jesus, then everything is going to be happening great, and you'll be protected and all that kind of stuff. No, it doesn't happen that way. You know, we're all vulnerable just like anybody else on this planet. But God's promise is this. In the end, God's love will win. And when Jesus Christ returns, it's going to be more than worth it. And just, we got to stay focused on that. Thanks.